For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul was a Jew and a Pharisee. He had studied under Gamaliel, one of the leaders in the Pharisees and teachers. Paul was persecuting any Christian that he could get his hands upon. He was on his way to Damascus. He was going to persecute the Christians there in that place. And as he approached the city, something happened. He met the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ had already been crucified. He had risen from the dead. He had ascended. This was years after that. But on the road to Damascus, Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ. And in an instant, Paul's hatred for Christians was turned to love. God was no longer his enemy. He spent 3 years in the Arabian desert with Jesus. A lot of folks don't realize that. All of the apostles spent at least 3 years with Jesus. Paul was no different. Paul became the 12th apostle. He took the place of Judas. I know men, Peter leading them, led men to make Matthias an apostle. That was not God's plan. Paul was an apostle, and he was the 12th apostle. Paul thought that he was doing God's will when he was persecuting Christians, but he was wrong. And he did not understand the love of God. After his conversion and education with Jesus, he understood the love of God in a whole new way. We know this because of Paul's writings in the New Testament. Many people don't realize that Paul and John wrote most of what we know to be the New Testament. Paul wrote about God's love in most of his epistles. And John wrote about the love of God in his three epistles at the end of the Bible, and then of the New Testament, just before the book of Revelation. So we'll start with what John wrote in his gospel and see what we can learn from there. John 8:42 tells us, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. This was written 4 chapters after the most famous verse in the Bible. It deals with God's love for each of us. When we are told by John, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the next verse tells us, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. As we think about the love of God this morning for each of us, we must consider ways that we can share our love for God. Genuine love is unending and full of power toward the object of that love. God wanted us to understand how everlasting his love for us would be. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote of God's love. We open this message with the two verses that describe God's love for us. Let's look at them again so that they might be fixed in our minds. Romans 8, 38 and 39, which we just read. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The truth about God's love for us is that it cannot be broken by anything that we could do. You cannot break God's love for you with your act. God still loves you. He still loves all of us. Once we accept God's love in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot be separated by anything in this world. Even the devil cannot separate us from the love of God. We are coming to a time of year when we celebrate in a very special way the love of God. We call it Christmas. And that's what we are celebrating, folks. We are celebrating God's love for us. Even Satan cannot separate us from that. The only person who can separate us from God's love is us. We can take ourselves out of it. We can stop loving God. We can be so fickle that we become attached to the things of the world, and we pull away from God, who loves us beyond our highest expectations. God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for our sin. Once we are saved, we cannot break that relationship with our Heavenly Father. We can withdraw from his will for us, but we will still belong to him. We can even worship other gods, but our name is still written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Even at the end of time and in the judgment of Christ, our name will still be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, especially if we were sincere in our profession of faith. Love is of God, and His Holy Spirit gives us a love for God when we are first saved. It's the first part of the fruit of the Spirit that enters our soul or heart, as the scripture refers to it. We may think that we don't love God like we should, and in some cases that may be correct. And we would be correct in that assumption, but our love for God will keep us coming back to Him when we get lonely and need His comfort. I've seen people pull away, but before their life is over, they come back to their love relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 tell us, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Paul, as he closed his second letter to the Corinthian church, closed it with this benediction. 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 14. Paul says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." What a beautiful way to remind the church about the love of God that surrounds us all the time. Now, we've been talking basically about the love of God for us. But Jesus is also God. He's the second person of the Godhead. Let's look at the love that he has for us. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." If a person is truly born again, they will be filled with the love of Christ from that instant on. They will have no control over it. It will just fill their heart, and they will love without limit. That's one of the few things in this life that has no limit. How many people can you love? You can love as many people as God puts in your life. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to love them for him. As we come to the epistle of Paul to the Colossians, we see an emotion that pastors can understand because they experience it in their churches where God places them. It has to do with the love of God that is placed in their hearts when God calls them to the ministry. Colossians 2, 1 through 3. "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In God and in Jesus Christ, we have the source of all our wisdom and all our knowledge." Now, we've been looking on Wednesday nights at the book of Proverbs, and we've been experiencing the wisdom and the knowledge of God. God is ready to give you wisdom and knowledge. He's willing to do that to everyone who has been born again. God does not want you to be ignorant about his plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. You don't know what it is, but he has a plan, and you can be rest assured that whatever that plan is, it is for your good. How can you accomplish what God wants for your life if he hides it from you? Have you asked him what his plan is for your life? He has one, and he wants you to know it. And the Holy Spirit is here for that very reason. The Holy Spirit wants you to know what God's plan is for your life. So if you really want to know what God's plan is, you need to get on your knees and you need to talk to him. He wants you to know. He's not going to hide it from you. He will give you an answer, not here, but in your heart. He will give you an answer in your heart as to what he wants you to do. Paul's not telling us about God's love yet, so that we will look at more of his writings. Once God's love is in our hearts, our motive for service is love for God and for the creation of God on this earth. We invest what God has placed in our lives in a way of gifts and abilities. We talked about them in Sunday school some this morning. God has given you a gift. Everyone sitting in this auditorium this morning has a gift of some sort. Something that God has given you when you got saved. God gave you that gift through the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of different gifts out there. You may have some talents. You may have some abilities that we have never seen. And yet God has given these to you so that you can be the servant he wants you to be. Now, we may not recognize our motivation for our efforts, but others observing what we are doing will recognize them. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 4, Paul tells us, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." Every one of you gets prayed for daily. Every one of you is an object, one of God's children, and God has a purpose for you. God called you to salvation, and he made plans for each of us to be involved in ministry. Many people think they don't have what is needed for service, so they sit still and miss the opportunity to serve God. Somewhere along the way, God voted for you to join him in his plan, and you surrendered. What a great day that was. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 through 12, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren, which are in Macedonia," in this case, which are in the United States. "But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and ye may have lack of nothing." When we were passing out gospel tracts at the fair this year, we were reaching out to people, offering them the most precious gift they will ever experience this time of year, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that it is God that causes us to love one another. I don't have a choice. God makes me love you. You don't have a choice. God makes you love other people too. God cannot be denied. Nothing is impossible with God. When he wants us to love the brothers and sisters, we will love the brothers and sisters if our heart is right with God. In 2 Thessalonians 3:5, Paul tells us, "And the Lord God direct your heart unto the love of God and unto the patient waiting for Christ." You see how much Paul has written about love of God? Paul tells us one more thing about God's love. We find it in a little epistle to Titus. Titus 3:4-6. And in Titus 3:4-6, Paul has written, "But after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." Salvation begins the whole process. And once we have experienced salvation, we begin to experience the love of God as a part of our life. John tells us a good bit to say about the love of God and how it will motivate us to be like Jesus. In 1 John 2:5-6, he tells us, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him by that love. He that saith he abideth in him ought also so to walk, even as he walked." Our goal is to be like Jesus. We are not perfect. None of us are. But we can think about the question, what would Jesus do in this situation? And I hope you ask yourselves that question as you come up on different parts of life. So, God's going to get very specific about how we are to do things. John says the same thing that James says about not being hearers only, but doers. He just says it in a little different way. 1 John 3:16-18, he tells us, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Love can never be demonstrated without our giving some part of our life to the object of our love. Love is giving. The Bible tells us that God loved us so much that he gave his only son for our sin. Once that occurred, we had a new relationship with God and our lives headed in a different direction. 1 John 4, we read verses 7-10, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God is not of God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God sees our sin as gone. I'm going to say that again. God sees our sin as gone. Because Jesus shed his blood for all of them, not just some of our sins. From the instant that you confessed that sin to God and sought forgiveness for that sin, God will faithfully forgive you, and he has done that. The Bible tells us, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once you've trusted Christ, if you continue to sin, and it's inevitable that you will, not intentionally, but by mistake or by omission, and you can know that you can go to God right then and he will forgive you. He wouldn't have put that in the Bible if it wasn't true. Our relationship, your relationship with God, is bathed in the love of God for you. There is nothing that any of us can do to change God's love for us. God is not pleased to see any one of his creation go to hell because he loves all of us. He loves you more than you will ever know. And his will is that none of us should perish. The Bible tells us that. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to know what God's will is? It's that every single person come to repentance, be saved. So I would ask this morning, have you experienced the love of God? I hope you have. But if not, God is ready to show it to you right now. He gave his Son so that you could experience the love of God through salvation. If you've never called out to God for salvation, this morning you can do that, and God will answer that prayer, and you can experience being born again. If you've never called out to God to be saved, come to the front here. We'll sing a song of invitation in a moment, and I'll meet you here, and we can go to God and get what he has for you. If there's any question in your mind about your salvation, come as we sing this hymn of invitation and let me know what the problem is, and we'll go aside and get it resolved with God. He's going to hear your prayer. He's going to answer your prayer. He's going to do it right now, today. Father, we come to you because you love us, because you are, we call you Father, because you are our Father, you're our Heavenly Father. And as our Father, you want only the best for us. So Father, as we meet together here this morning, as we sing this hymn of invitation, if there is anyone here who has a question of any kind about their salvation, let them come forward, Father. May your Holy Spirit bring them forward. And may your will be done in their hearts. And we will praise you, Father, for all the things you do. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.